Here is a very interesting newspaper quote. See if you agree with it or not. Washington, D.C. is not a place to live in. The rents are high. The food is bad. The dust is disgusting and the morals are deplorable. End quote. That was written by the editor of the New York Daily Tribune on July 13, 1865. But that's not all that he said. The next sentence is the very famous part of his quote. He said, he continued, "So, go west, young man, go west, and grow up with the country." Well, a large number of young men and women and children did exactly that. In covered wagons, they toiled and risked their lives and put in sweat equity in search of desirable land out west. Squatters' rights became the law of the day. And once that they found a suitable patch of land in the open plains with clear skies and fertile soil, they built their cabins. And where did they build those cabins? Smack dab in the middle of those plots of lands, their homesteads, with acres and acres and sometimes even miles between them and their nearest neighbors. And then they proudly erected strong, sturdy fences all around their property lines and signs saying private property with the pride of everyone. They were owners of land and they were very proud about it. But then something very interesting happened. The people back east in the cities wanting to know how things were going out there in the west, so they sent some photographers out there to take pictures and ask questions and to report back in the newspapers. And when those photos began to get back to New York City and places like that, they showed pictures of women who looked gaunt and stooped over. Their eyes looked empty. They showed pictures of young men who looked prematurely old. They showed pictures of children whose faces were very bleak. You see, what they discovered was that life was extremely hard under those circumstances when they tried to live on their own. The winters were very harsh. Food was very scarce. And so they were constantly fighting the elements, and starvation became prevalent. Their immune systems became compromised. They became infected with diseases that robbed them of their strength. They could not work the land. They could not raise crops. They were barely surviving. With all of those challenges, the wisest among them began to think about what was going on. And they decided that they had to do something to survive. They had to change their lifestyle if they were going to have an abundant life and enjoy health. And what they decided they needed to do was to build their houses closer to one another. So, four families who had built their cabins in the middle of their plots of land moved and built their houses in the four corners of the land, very, very close together. And then they began to share food. And then they began to help one another. And then they discovered they were healthier and happier and safer. And they reported to these photographers and these newspaper reporters, life is even more fun now. And God was probably watching from heaven. And I imagine he said, well, duh, read my word. I've been telling you this since creation. Genesis 2, it is not good for a man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Psalm 133, how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. Ruth chapter 1, Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. And where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. In Romans 12, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, with each member belonging to all the others. That's what God said. There's a famous Swedish proverb that says, shared joy is double joy. Shared sorrow is half a sorrow. All of that composes one of the greatest blessings of being in a church family. Having Christian fellowship with one another is good for your health, your spiritual health, and, as we've learned, even your physical health. But beware of assuming, because you can be in the middle of a crowd and still be isolated. You can be lonely when all the other people around you are enjoying some kind of a party. How could that be? How could that be? Well, it could be because the group of people fails to love you the way you deserve to be loved. Or it could be that you've chosen to build your house in the middle of your plot of land, and you need to rebuild it into the four corners and be closer to other people. Where do you see yourself in that scenario that I just described? Where do you see yourself right here in covenant fellowship? Do you feel accepted here? Do you feel acceptable here? Are you inclusive or are you exclusive in your lifestyle? Some people are lonely because they have adopted a touch-me-not attitude. Have you done that? Are you guilty of that? There are some brothers and sisters who come here every Lord's Day early and talk with one another. And then there are some who linger after every worship service and share and talk with one another because they're living in the four corners of the field. And there are some here who never partake of the sweetness of the fellowship of covenant, either before the service or after the service or even between Sundays. Have you seen that happen? I have seen that happen. I suppose it will always be that way because people are different, and it's that way in just about every group that we know. There are those who prefer to walk alone, and there are those who prefer to walk together. But what does God prefer? You know the answer. Listen to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, beginning in verse 9. Two are better than one. Aha. Two are better than one. Because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. was reviewing the scripture this morning before I came, and I thought about Nancy Hendricks, who fell and hit her head on something hard and was injured and had to be taken to the hospital. What if she had been all alone and nobody knew? Continuing in Ecclesiastes, but pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. Here it comes. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. I almost gave that title to this sermon, A Cord of Three Strands. I also almost gave it the title of Two Are Better Than One. All that works. How long has it been, brothers and sisters, since you had a significant, all fences down, open-hearted experience, interaction with some other brother or sister in this fellowship? This week? Last month? Last year? Never? Perhaps it's time for you to move your cabin from the middle of your field and bring it into the four corners and put a gate in your wall. Or better yet, tear down that wall. I love that quote. Tear down that wall. You know what? No matter how comfortable you are right now, no matter how secure you may feel in your life right now, there is the possibility, if not the probability, that a storm is going to come along and threaten everything you hold dear, perhaps even your life. Don't find yourself isolated and alone. I'm reminded about a very familiar story from the Bible that involved the Apostle Paul and 275 other people. It's told to us in Acts 27, a terrible, terrible storm came up, and they were on a ship. It was a Roman ship, and the Romans had some prisoners, and Paul was a prisoner on that ship, and he was being taken by the Romans to Italy. He was to stand before Caesar for trial. And the story goes that a huge storm came up, and it says hurricane force winds were blowing in that storm, and everyone on that ship thought they were going to die except Paul, because the night before, an angel had appeared to Paul and said, God told him, everyone was going to be spared. Now, I'm picking up the story in Acts 27, verse 27. Can you remember that? On the 14th night, how many nights? 14. How long is that? 2 weeks. 2 weeks. On the 14th night, we were still being driven across the Adriatic Sea. When about midnight, the sailors sensed they were approaching land, fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks. They dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. In an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors set a lifeboat down into the sea, pretending that they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. You see, those sailors had given up. They were convinced that they were going to die, and they wanted to escape from that lifeboat, in that lifeboat, and they were not thinking about any of the other 276 souls on that ship, not even the prisoners who were in the bottom of that ship. All they wanted to do was to do their own thing and try to make it to land. Verse 31, then Paul said to the Roman centurion and to the soldiers, unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved. That is the essence of this story in Acts 27. That is God's message in this story. Stay with the ship. Stay with the ship. If you try to do it alone, you may perish. Now, the rest of the story in Acts 27 is extremely vivid. And I'm not going to take the time to go through the rest of the story, but I just invite you, I urge you, when you go home this afternoon or this evening, before you go to sleep tonight, read Acts 27. We stopped at verse 32. Do any of you remember Charles Osgood? Charles Osgood is retired now, but he was a very well-known CBS radio and television commentator who traveled all over the United States looking for very interesting people about whom he could give some very interesting stories. And one of his highly rated shows was called The Osgood File, and it ran for 46 years. Imagine that, 46 years. One of his favorite stories involved two old ladies. Do you know any old ladies? And they both lived in a nursing home. Now, in their past, each of these ladies, who did not know one another, happened to be accomplished pianists. And they played the piano and the organ in their churches. And they gave concerts on the keyboard. But now, because they had had strokes and they were disabled, they were incapacitated. You see, one of them could only use the left side of her body, and the other one could only use the right side of her body. I'll bet you know where this is going. One day, the director of the home rolled those two ladies out into the lobby, and he rolled them up to the piano, and he put some music on the piano rack and on the music rack, and he invited them to play. One provided the left hand, and one provided the right hand, and the people began to hear it. And soon the lobby began to fill up with residents who came out to hear the beautiful music that was filling the foyer. And they played for hours. And then they did it the next day and the next day. And more people gathered to hear them. And pretty soon, people from outside the nursing home heard about it. And they started coming into the nursing home to hear these women play the piano so beautifully. And in fact, those two old ladies started traveling around to churches in their community, and they were playing hymns to the glory of God. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. And that goes for old ladies too. Hallelujah. Matthew 18, verse 19, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. You just cannot make beautiful music together, brothers and sisters, if you insist on building your cabin in the middle of your plot of land. We are a church family. And when we say that we are a church family, we're also saying that we are a team. Now, let's face it. Some families are anything but a team. And I'm sure that some of you know all about that. But binding together in the body of Christ means becoming a team. And that is underscored in God's word over and over and over. Just think about Moses and Aaron. Think about Elijah and Elisha. Think about Joshua and Caleb. Think about David and Jonathan. Paul and Silas, Peter, James, and John, the 12 disciples, Jesus sending the disciples out two by two. And just think about the Trinity. God Himself, even though He is one, taught us the power of plurality in being three persons in one. So, what are you going to do about all of this? If you already have built your house in the corner, and if you're already close to others in this fellowship, hooray. If you're not, however, what are you going to do about this? Now, let's admit this. Covenant Fellowship is not a typical church. It's not. For many reasons, we do not have small groups. We do not have Bible studies together. We don't have a fellowship hall where we can have lots of church dinners together. Some of us live far, far away from one another. And we only see each other on Sundays. We only get together on Sundays. And many of us can hardly get up and get dressed and get to Kerf Valley on Sundays. So we certainly don't have the energy or the time to get together between Sundays. I know. So what can you do about all this? Well, some of you, I understand, have discovered the joy of Zooming. If you have no idea what Zoom is, don't worry about it. But for those of you who have discovered Zoom and you get together, hooray! Some of you know the value of an old-fashioned telephone call. You can stay in contact with one another. You can call each and every member of this small group at one time or another and say, "Hi, it's me. I just called to see how you are." Hooray! Many of you have discovered the joy and the value of arriving here 20 minutes or 30 minutes before the service starts and sharing with one another face to face. As little as that may seem, it makes a huge difference. I know a group of people quite differently than that other group of people that comes in at the last minute. And I've discovered, it seems during the COVID pandemic, that more and more of you are coming in at the last minute. Maybe you should think about changing that. It's not that hard. Just 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 12 minutes, 30 minutes earlier, or lingering afterwards. Do anything that you can to build your house in the four corners. Many of you in the past have enjoyed monthly lunches together. And I've heard testimony after testimony from people how much value there is in that. They sign up at the welcome table and then they go together. There are those who cannot do that, and I understand that. But there are those who can. And when COVID releases its grip on us and we're able to do that again, give it a try. Hooray! And you know what? We constantly invite you and urge you and ask you to pray for one another. We did it this morning. I ask you to pray for Patty Lipa, remember? We ask you to do it, but asking you, saying it, and doing it, that's different. That's different. When you pray for other brothers and sisters, it draws you closer to your brothers and sisters. It makes a difference. It also draws you closer to God. In a limited church situation like we are in, there are not that many opportunities to serve. But let me tell you what a joy it is for those who have committed themselves to helping us prepare this room for the rest of you every week. Or committed themselves to helping us tear things down and put them away at the end of the service every week. Or maybe help with the flowers or the banners or the paraments or whatever it is. Everybody can do that at one time or another. What can you do about all these things? Lord, bind us together. Bind us together even in small ways. Make us a team together. Help us learn, Lord, the positive ways that though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, because a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, in love. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, how we thank you for this church family. How we thank you for your grace for 10 years together. How we thank you, Lord, for the love that flows between brothers and sisters in this fellowship, for the power of sincere prayer, for those who have actually put in sweat equity to help one another in one way or another. Thank you, Lord, that we have one another to turn to cry out to help us when we fall. Thank you that we have someone to whom we can confess, that we can ask for favors, that we can offer ourselves to minister for you. Thank you, Lord, that we are a family under your banner of love. May we be a family that is pleasing to you, bound together by your love. In Jesus' name, amen.